I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Poultry Health Today, and with me is Dr. Tim Cummings. He's a technical service veterinarian for Zoetis. Welcome, Tim.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here.
I wanted to talk with you about E. coli. I mean, this is a disease that is commonly vaccinated for in layers, broiler breeders. But now that the industry is reducing, or in some cases even eliminating the use of antibiotics in broilers, you're starting to see more E. coli in the broiler flocks, is that correct?
Yeah, and E. coli is a common bacterial pathogen. It's one of the most common bacterial pathogens in broiler production. So it's out there. We have to live with it. And removing these antibiotics, particularly coming from the hatchery side, mm-hmm. That really helped us out with regards to E. coli control, probably more so than what we realize now that we're pulling back from it.
The hatchery antibiotic?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I think not every company, not every complex, but I think some people are starting to see more E. coli-related type lameness, mortalities.
But a lot of things can cause lameness and mortality. Yeah. How do you know it's E. coli?
Well, you have to go out into the field, look at the birds, do some culture work, and that's primarily how we make that diagnosis. But there are some syndromes that are pretty commonly associated with E. coli, such as air sacculitis. Now, you also see some femoral head necrosis, some bone infection, some synovitis associated with that too, mm-hmm. which you can see out in the field. So these are the type of things we're looking for.
Now, you mentioned in the hatchery them eliminating the antibiotic. I've heard that they've also, in some cases, cut back on in ovo vaccination because they just don't want anything penetrating that egg. So we have no antibiotic. Is a management practice like that helpful to E. coli, do you think?
Well, even though we've got a great device for injecting that egg and sanitizing the egg and so forth, you're still poking a hole there. Mm-hmm. And the egg pack is tremendously important. In this regard, what kind of quality eggs are we getting, or what's the level of contamination incoming? So that's a critical component to help control E. coli with these NAE programs. But that's one avenue that people are considering is do we need to inoviject and run the risk of allowing E. coli to have more of a cause more of a problem in production. But it's also got its downside. I mean, you're not giving Merrick's vaccine.
Which seems pretty dicey because that is a disease of the immune system, and especially in no antibiotics ever production, you need all the immunity you can get.
And plus, we use built-up litter, so we know the Merrick's challenge is out there too. And you may can get away with it for a little while. I think over time, though, it would probably cause you problems. That would be my concern.
So let's say it's an operation that has eliminated the antibiotic in the hatchery. Whether they're using antibiotics in broilers is another issue, but what are some things that producers can do to limit E. coli in the broiler flock?
Well, and like I've already alluded to, that one of the first things I think we need to do is really focus on the egg pack. We got to do everything. We got to step up our game and make sure we're doing everything we can to get the cleanest eggs into the hatchery. Then we've got to really, really sanitize our hatcheries. Go after certain processes. We've got to step up our game. I mean, there are some things in reality that we found out. Pulling a gentamicin, for example, it was holding some things at bay. And when we pulled it, we found out maybe our hatcheries, some devices, some situations weren't as clean as we thought. And then there's some other tools I really think we got to think about. We got to think out of the box. There's a live E. coli vaccine that I think probably we have to consider in certain situations, particularly if we continue to have problems. We need to look at some other tools such as that.
Now, I imagine you'd get a little bit of pushback, though, because, I mean, there are only so many vaccines a broiler producer can use. How would they know that a vaccine for E. coli is going to provide a good return on investment?
Well, I mean, and that's a valid question. But you got to look at overall mortality and performance, because the E. coli generally is associated with first week mortality, mm-hmm. and maybe second half of grow out mortality when you start getting into the bone synovitis joint type infections, which I think the Poulvac E. coli will definitely help. So it can be tough to measure, but you know, we as the industry, I think we have this knee-jerk reaction. It's not the cheapest vaccine out there. And so we think, okay, gosh, I can't pay this upfront cost.
Yeah.
But you can't afford not to use it because it's probably helping to maintain a better livability, maybe a better performance. It's hard, it might be hard to measure, but again, if you're in the NAE business, I think as an industry, we probably had better be looking at using all the tools available to it.
Well, we talked about what E. coli can do in terms of bird performance, but does it also open up the door for any secondary infections?
Primarily, E. coli is a secondary infection.
It's secondary by itself.
Yeah. Most of the time, I think there might be some situations. We've always considered it secondary, but I think sometimes some strains are probably more pathogenic than others. But anyhow, yeah, generally something is setting it up. Like I mentioned there, sacculitis. It's generally a respiratory virus setting it up, you know. Or even if it's a first week omphalitis causing chick mortality, you know, generally it's cause of the sanitation issues or you know something or stress to the bird itself, or not really washing the hatching trays properly, and things, you know, there's 101 things that can go on.
So we know that E. coli is a secondary infection, but can E. coli by itself tee up the ball for maybe some other bacteria or even viruses to enter the broiler flock?
I guess the best way to put it, it's sitting there, it's waiting. It's there. It's just waiting on the opportunity, a crack in the defense, a crack in the fence, so it can weasel into the bird and start causing some problems. So that it's either coming from the respiratory tract or the GI tract or the navel. So
is there anything we can do in terms of managing the bird's environment to lower the pressure from E. coli?
Yeah, you know, I mean, just basic good management. Is what, you know, if we'll start these birds out right, brood them properly, manage the litter properly, you know, more, you know, again, the, you know, don't let the litter get out of control, too wet. Ventilation's huge to control ammonia, to keep it down properly. So it's a lot of just good basic management programs and vaccination programs, making sure that we're giving those properly. It's not a secret. I mean, it's just getting down and doing things properly and making sure they're done right. It takes a little bit more elbow grease, you know. But in reality, that's what we should be doing anyhow.
It's like everything else, requires a lot of attention to detail.
Yes, it does. And I think we have found out with NAE, it's forced us to look at some detail with a critical eye. And you can help yourself out if you do.
Okay, well, we'll have to keep a close eye on E. coli.
Yes, sir.
We've been talking to Dr. Tim Cummings. He's a technical service veterinarian at Zoetis. Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoyed it.